Let's do that. Okay, so we're going to look at a couple. Obviously, this is not exhaustive, and I just had a few things that God has put on my heart. So let's start in the beginning. Look at God, who is creator. All right, and Genesis 1, verse 1 to 5. You can actually zoom in a bit, go to the next one. It goes a bit closer, Dong. There we go. In the beginning. Okay, no, not like that, just with the arrow. Sorry, right arrow. Gonna left. Yeah! Okay, let's leave it there, thanks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep, the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the day light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So the God that we trust in, the God that we serve, is the God that is the creator and that spoke creation into being. And I have good news for you, that God is still the creator. He hasn't changed. He is still the one who speaks into being. And he's made us in his image, and he's given us power. He's given the words that we speak power also, in terms of what we speak and what we declare. And I, at the beginning of the year, you know, specifically we've got babies around. Is it Ruth Esther? Have I got it right? Ruth Esther, beautiful baby Dean, has recently arrived. Reminds us just of how amazing creation is, and how God has shaped each one of us in our mother's womb. How he knew of you and have had you in mind and had you planned even before the foundation of the earth. Even before your parents had a clue, God has already prepared for you. Going into this year, have this knowledge that the God that spoke creation into being formed you and formed you uniquely and has prepared something for you this year. As his son and daughter, and he breathed life into us. He put the very life that is in us put in us. Nobody else. Life is from him, and just the fact that he not only gives us life in terms of a worldly sense, in terms of on the earth, but eternal life is from him. And the challenge that I hold before us this morning is that, what are we going to do with those creative words that we speak this year? Are you going to be somebody that proclaims life? Are you going to be somebody that has the word of God on their heart and on their lips, proclaiming the life into situations? Or the danger, then, on the other hand, is to look at the negative stuff and to feel a bit, at the beginning of the year, feel a bit daunted, there's so much things I have to deal with. But I want to encourage us, let this be the year that you declare life, prophesy life into your situation. You know, I see it so clearly with our children. Abby's, 3.5 now. And she's not at the place where she helps to correct me. Okay, so she helps me when I say the wrong thing. So the other day, I wanted to say that we use the word stupid, right? Especially in context with people. So now I said the other day in the car, my phone, it wasn't doing this stupid thing. And then she said, "No, Daddy, we don't say stupid." I said, "Okay." You know, but I'm so aware of the fact that whatever I say to her, whatever we proclaim over our children, shapes something in them. Amen. And the same with our friends, the same with our people around us. We have the power to create and to speak life. Amen. Okay, let's go on to the next one. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And just again, the fact that everything exists is through God. Nothing can exist outside of him. And I want to just throw that right from the start, that he is the creator God of the universe. If in situations where you're trusting for something and there's yet nothing there, speak it, pray it, proclaim it, speak, you know, pray through it with your small group. But He's the God that creates out of nothing. And I just feel you're sitting here this morning and there's something that you're hoping for and there's something that you're trusting for, but there's still nothing visible. I want to say to you this morning, speak it, declare it, prophesy it. Make sure you have the Word of God in you and you have the will of God in you, and then speak it into that situation, even where there's nothing. He's the one that creates out of nothing. Okay. We serve a God who is the, if you go on to the next one, He's the one who loves unendingly. And the love of God is so critical for us to expose ourselves to the love of God as much as we can. Okay, it's funny, it seems, I pick this up quite a lot, it seems that we as believers, maybe it's more so for my culture where I come from, the Afrikaans and German background is quite a harsh one, you know. Performance is big. And it's as if we tend to only hear God's correction. And we only... It's as if we... I'm not saying you're doing this, okay? I find myself doing this. Maybe you find the same. We filter out God's affirmation. And I just want to encourage us at the beginning of this year that to get rid of that filter and to trust to hear. Because most of what He's telling us, most of His communication is affirmation. Most of His communication towards us is actually His love and His affirmation being expressed toward us, if we would only hear. Okay, let's look at 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I'm reminded of a youth evening when I was in high school, and... we had the ladies on the one side and the young men on the other side. You know, we spent some time just with the young men, and as a high school, you know, a young man or a boy, you know, that stage, talking about love was a bit awkward, you know. So with that evening, we spoke about love, and we discussed it, and we threw lots of ideas around. And if you think back about it, most of us were absolutely clueless. But, you know, we've lots of ideas, and this, you know, this is what it's about, and this is how it works. But obviously now this is a Christian context, so we have to think of all the good things, about, you know. But the amazing conclusion we came to at the end of the evening was that the definition of love is found in God Himself. That God is love. And that the more we see Him for who He is, the more we are able to face whatever we have to face, because we are grounded in that love that He has for us. Our foundation is in that manifestation of His love for us, that it was manifested in the cross. And that the fact that we can have a confidence, even this year, that the fact that this year is going to be amazing is not because I love God, but because He loved me first. Not because I can do a lot of things and try and bless Him and please Him, but because He loves me first, every day. Amen. And that is the God in whom we trust, is the one that loves us unendingly. It loves us first. Let's go to the next one, Ephesians 2:46, the first bit there. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. That love that is manifested in the fact that we were dead. We were heading for the pit, every one of us. But He has made us alive in Christ. Guys, that's fullness of life right there. That is the life that God has prepared for you this year. A full life. A life not necessarily full of stuff. But fullness of life means something else than just having things, right? And He has got a full life prepared for us. Together with Christ. He's made us alive together with Christ. He's raised us up together with Him. That is the God that we serve. That's the God that we trust in, and the God whose love is manifested in the cross. And I want to encourage you that if we actually go to the next, let me read the next scripture first before I continue. This is a well-known one, Romans 8:37-39. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This is the love that it empowers us. We are conquerors, more than conquerors, through this love. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, even the things we don't know about that lie ahead, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the God that we trust in. Nothing can separate us. And Pastor Fred preached once something about the fact that this specific scripture refers to the plural. Nothing can separate us. Nothing shall be able to separate us. And I want to just encourage you with that the love of God is most manifested when we approach God as plural, as our Father. Yes, God does love you as an individual, but the love of God is most manifested towards His bride. His bride as a unit, as one. Are you with me? So, the love of God, if don't isolate yourself this year. Make sure that you are in the body, part of the bride, part of the us. Because that's where the love of God is manifested towards us. And nothing can separate us from that. Let's go on. Zephaniah 3. Verse 17, the Lord your God, in your midst, the Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now this is difficult for some, I know. Maybe the guys, this is a bit awkward, you know. When last did somebody rejoice over you with singing? And, my daughter Abigail, she rejoices like this. You know, she receives gifts really well. So it's really such a joy to give her something because she's just like, woo, you know, she really goes. And even just when she sees, when I love to go and fetch her at school, I just do the dropping off. But when I love going fetching her because she's so excited to see you, you know. Although she does love school a lot. But, you know, imagine that picture when I come home or I collect Abby at school and she runs and she jumps into my arms and she's so excited and she rejoices over me. That's how God feels about you. That's a bit, it's weird for us, but that He rejoices over you with singing. He celebrates you. God, and there's some of, I want to just kill a lie here this morning. Some of us feel that God barely tolerates me. That's true. Some of us feel you know, when I go into the throne room of God, I sit in the corner in the back. And I can just sit there. I'm there by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God. But God's just tolerating me. He's just, okay, you can come in, but sit in the corner type of thing. And that's a lie of the pit. Amen? God celebrates you. He's excited about you. He's the God that we love, the God we serve, the God we trust in is the one that celebrates us. Not because of the stuff that we do for Him primarily, but because the life of His Son paid for us. And in us He sees Christ. And in us He sees what He has created in us. And He celebrates that. When Christ washed the disciples' feet, they at that stage, they weren't conquerors, to be honest, guys. If you think about it. They were like us, just normal guys, normal people. But God, Christ washes their feet in celebration of where they're going to go, in celebration of who they are about to become. And I want to say to you, do not underestimate what God is wanting to do through your life. He rejoices over you. He celebrates you. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Don't let anybody depress you. Don't let anybody tell you you're worth something, you're worth nothing, because in this is where we find our identity, is in the fact that He rejoices over you. Amen. And His love for you is unending. He rejoices over us. This is good news. Hallelujah. This is the God that we put our trust in. And again, I want to just encourage you try and filter out, try and not filter out the affirmation. God, most of his, if most of God's communication toward you is not affirmation, then you need to come and speak to me or David, and we can pray for each other. Okay? Seriously. He wants to affirm. He wants to express that he's pleased. If you look at scripture, when Christ was in human form, there were a few times when God spoke audibly in front of everybody to Jesus. And they were all affirmation. When he was baptized, opened the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." How powerful is that? Everybody must hear. No confusion here. I love this guy. He's my son. That's how he speaks to you and I. When he on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, "This is my beloved son." Again, and then he affirms his ministry. He says, "Hear him." I want to say, guys, don't filter out the affirmation. Open your heart to what God wants to say to you. Open the Word and receive those words of affirmation. Those are the ones that make us strong when the enemy comes against us and the lies of the world come against us. Amen. Let's go on. We serve a God who forgives completely. Let's quickly look at Psalm 103. "For as the heavens are high above the earth," 11 to 12, "so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And now this is a bit of a trick question. Maybe we can ask Chris this, because since he's a math teacher. How far is the east from the west? And it's a little bit of a trick one, because it's an infinite number. But that is exactly why this is the example God uses, because he says it's infinitely far. It no longer exists. That's how he removes our transgressions from us. Let's go on to Hebrews 10, 16 to 18. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." And then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is a remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." Remission for our sin has been completed through the blood of Jesus. And His forgiveness is absolutely complete. You know how it works when somebody has wronged you, or somebody's taken something or broken something of yours. I don't know how about you, but sometimes there's something in my heart. I've forgiven that person, right? But there's something that feels, surely they must just give it back, or at least repay me or something. Hey, that's fair. Huh? That's the God isn't like that. He not only forgives, but he removes from us the guilt. He removes from us blame. You know, when I have, luckily, praise the Lord, I have never had a speed fine in this country. But that's by the grace of the Lord. But in any case, so if you have a speed fine, you know, we often use that analogy. Your sin is like a fine, and then Christ comes and he pays your fine. But it's like that, but also not exactly like that. Because even though I've paid the fine, or I've parked in the wrong place, and they photograph my car from every angle. If you see what they do there, they photograph it. There's no way you can get around it, because they've taken every photo from every angle. They've taken the car and the photo of the car and the parking restrictions. It's like, and the time, and you're like, okay. And the church clock in the background with the time on it, you know. So it's like, there's no way you're getting out of this one. So even after I've paid the fine, the evidence is still there. I was in the wrong. But the fact is, the scripture says that God makes us blameless. He even removes the blame, guys. Do you get that? He even removes the guilt. That's powerful. It's not like somebody else has paid my parking fine. It's not like that. He removes our guilt and removes the shame, and he removes even the blame from us. And he remembers it no more. At the beginning of the new year, as we go on to the next one, I don't know about you. Do you like a fresh start sometimes? Thinking, I just need a fresh start in this area. or sometimes even in a relationship, you think let's just start new, or let's just start fresh, or let's just, or some in some parts of our lives, we just wish we could just start over. And you know, maybe it's something at work that you're struggling with, or something that you're trusting God. You just I just need a fresh start. And I've got great news for you this morning. Okay, let's look at this Colossians 2. 13-15, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The requirement, the handwriting of requirement, the evidence that you are guilty, you and I are guilty, that even has been wiped clean. And if you feel this morning that you need a fresh start, or you need a clean slate, then I've got good news that in Christ, you have a clean slate. You can start fresh. If there's something that happened in the past and you feel, oh, I've got to deal with this year, I don't know how, it's a little bit daunting, and they know that you have a fresh start in Christ. You know, often when Christians deal with guilt and condemnation, it's obviously the devil has a part in it. He's the accuser, but we have this, our own. We play our role. Sometimes we feel, no, I must suffer for this that I've done wrong, and we punish ourselves. And guys, that's not clever. Seriously, there's enough punishment out there. There's enough trials and tribulations. They're going to come in any case. Don't punish yourself. The more serious the more serious implication of us trying to punish ourselves is that we say the blood of Christ is not sufficient. I'm trying to add something to that. When I want to make myself suffer for something I did, or worse, I'm trying to make somebody else suffer something they did, withholding forgiveness, right? Christ, in God, He forgives us completely, and we are able to forgive in the same way because of that. And He gives us a fresh start, and He doesn't hold it against us. As soon as we've brought it into the light and we've repented, God says, you know, He removes it from us, and we can be free, guys. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. This is not a year to go into with condemnation hanging over your head. Amen? He forgives completely. And I'd say, I want to grab all of that forgiveness 100%. I don't want half of it. And I know, at the same time, I'm trusting God so I can forgive in the same way that I've been forgiven. Amen. Okay, let's go on. We serve the God who empowers us for victory. I'm quickly going to read Joshua 1, a few verses here. Just hang in there. You know this. This is just before the nation of Israel about to cross the Jordan into the promised land. And if this new year is a promised land for you and I and us as a congregation, let's take to heart what God is encouraging Joshua with. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you. As I said to Moses, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Actually, I just feel we need to read this. So if you can read it with me, let's make it personal. Say, let's read together. He will not leave me nor forsake me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to give to your fathers, to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid or nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. At the beginning of a year, guys, this is what you want to hear. Be strong and of good courage. And guys, I mean, good news, bad news for somebody. This is not a suggestion. Do you see this? Have I not commanded you? Be strong, but of good courage. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Some of us are going to go to scary places this year. Some of us are going to go into places where we are not comfortable. Some of us are like Peter. We're going to have to step out of our boat and walk on water in some senses. God is saying, do not be afraid, nor dismayed. I'm with you wherever you go. I will not forsake you. Let's go on. Psalm 18, 28 to 34. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. David writes here, he says, when I'm with God and I'm running with him, nothing is impossible anymore. And the God that we love, the God that we serve, the God that we trust in, guys, is the God of the impossible. Is the God when we are running with him, I can run against the troops. He says, I can run against this whole division of soldiers. I can scale any wall that comes before me. I can go over any obstacle because God is with me. If you're facing some impossibilities this year, I've got good news for you, because we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God that speaks light into darkness, that creates out of nothing. We serve the God that is the God of the miraculous. Angus Buchan, he says that a great impossibility is the opportunity for a great miracle. That is the God whom we serve, that where there is absolutely no way, he makes a way. Amen? No, not really. Yes. Amen. Okay. So, if you're facing some impossibilities, if you're facing some walls or some mountains, I want to say to you, you're in a good place, because the God that you and I serve is the one that makes the impossible possible. Is the one that is able to make all things work together for the good of those who love him, called according to his purpose. And you know, it's sometimes in my life I've been in situations where, you know, when you know this is a bit of a bad spot or a bad situation. But you know what, don't worry, I've got a kind of plan B and a plan C, and I'm okay. But you know when you're in a place where you know there's no way, yeah, there's no way out. This is a bit of a corner. And you know it's only God that can get me out of this one. Have you been there? When you feel, well, okay, this is about as bad as it can get. Well, I want to say to you, if you find yourself in a place like that, or might this year somewhere in a tight spot, I love those places. It's not in the way, maybe not in the moment, maybe after, but but there's amazing comfort in the knowledge that there's no plan of mine that can deliver me out of the situation. There's no scheme that I can come up with that can help me here. There's no person I can phone that can help me now. I know I can trust God. Amen? And I will say to you, that's not a bad place, guys. I've told you maybe, about the prayer mission we did. We cycled around the country in South Africa over a period of about 6 weeks, cycled around the borders of the country praying. And I remember I was quite fit. I was probably one of the fitter guys on the team. But I remember every morning, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I remember every morning just sitting there, you know, going to the bathroom, doing your little routine. We get up at 4, have breakfast. By 5, we're on the road. You know, I just remember sitting there with such an absolute conviction, being persuaded and convinced that I will not make it today unless God helps me. Are you with me? And I just know this. It was such a freedom in saying to God, God, you know what? I'm a fit guy. I can probably do good. I'm going to be okay. But I know there's a conviction in my heart that I cannot make it through the day unless you are with me. I can survive maybe, but I will not be victorious. And I'll tell you what, if that is one thing we do this year, coming at the beginning of every day, saying, coming into the presence of God, say, Lord, unless you are with me today, this is not going to be a good day. But Lord, if you are with me, I submit myself to you, my plans, my heart, everything. Today, let your kingdom come in my life. I have that conviction that, what, God, I know that you're with me. And because of that, I know today is going to be a great day. I know today I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. Amen? Amen. Today, whatever needs to happen today is possible because he's with me. And I'm walking with him. He's a shield to all who trust in him. Okay. Let's go on. This is the last one. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and on all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God empowers us by his Holy Spirit. Guys, this is like the best gift you will ever receive. The other word scripture uses for Holy Spirit is the Parakletos, but also the Aragon, which is the same word used for engagement ring or promise. He's the promise. He's the down payment of what is to come. Let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Actually, no, let's not do that yet. Okay, so I have such a conviction these days that we need to press into the Holy Spirit. And we need to rely. We need to push into relationship with him. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you're not so sure about this Holy Spirit thing, just come and chat to us. I tell you what, since getting born again, since being saved by God, being baptized by water was a major thing. But the day when I was filled with the Spirit of God is probably the most significant day in my relationship with God since my salvation. He empowers us with the Spirit of God. He empowers us for victory. I tell you what, we need to push into that relationship. We need to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you, if you're not in a habit of praying in the Spirit a lot, let that be one of your faith goals for the year. I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to pray in the Spirit a lot. All the time. It's going to be a massive blessing. He empowers us by his Spirit. We receive power. And that power is for a reason. Amen? There's a purpose for it. Good job, Cornell. It was quite a while. And I want to encourage you, do not, again, at the beginning of the day, Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me afresh today. I need your power. I need your empowerment today so that the kingdom can come through my life. I don't want to have an average day. I don't want to survive today. I don't want to survive this year. Let the kingdom come. Amen? He empowers us through the Holy Spirit. Then 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul says, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And this is the God in whom we trust. It's the one that makes his strength perfect in the place where we are weak. I want to say to you, don't think at the beginning of this year, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to do this. You know, we tend to do lots of resolutions, and this year I'm going to be amazing. You know, I'm going to yes, you are. You're already amazing. But let there be a conviction on our hearts that the reason that this year is going to be amazing is because the power of Christ is in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. His strength is made perfect in the place where we are weak. And if you experience the challenges in your at the beginning of this year, and you know there are things that you're trusting God for, then be humble. Humble yourself before him and allow his grace to allow him to give you grace. Allow his strength to be perfect in that very area that you're wrestling in. Amen. Guys, I've experienced that the moments where I feel I have to minister to somebody, I have to pray with somebody, or I have to do something, and I just feel this is like the last thing I want to do now. I feel weak, or I feel discouraged, or whatever it may be. It's in that moment when I humble myself And I say, God, you need to help me here. That's the moment when the kingdom of God comes in the most powerful ways. That's the moment when people get healed. That's when the power of God is manifested. That's when it seems people come after and say, that was the most amazing sermon. Like, you know what? I'm going to have to write some of that down. Because I didn't get think of that stuff. You know, it's just the place where the grace of God is manifested when we humble ourselves in a place of weakness. So I want to encourage you to say, let us fix our eyes on the God that empowers us by His strength made perfect in our weakness. In the places we humble ourselves and recognize there's no amount of striving that's going to make this year a success, but the fact that I'm humbling myself. I say, Lord, let Your will be done in my life. Let Your kingdom come. Amen. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to close. Let this year be the year where His strength is made perfect in you. Imagine how powerful is that? Is when we are in our weakest place, the strength of God is made perfect. I mean, guys, I want to be weak every day, if that's the case. Hey? I say, Lord, you know what? Today, because that's glorious. The strength of the Lord made perfect. That's glorious. That's when people recognize something in us that's not of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. So this morning, as we fix our eyes on Christ, as we stand in the beginning of this year, I want to say to you, remind yourself of who is this God that we trust in. Who is the one that we fix our eyes on? Who is the one that we place our hope in for this year? Who is the God that has spoken and created something out of nothing? The God that loves unendingly. The God that has given His Son in your and my place. The one that celebrates you, rejoices over you. He doesn't just tolerate you. He rejoices over you. Amen. The God that forgives us absolutely, completely. Let's close our eyes. I feel specifically, if you're here this morning and you, I just feel that there's a few people that haven't heard the affirmation of God. And I feel the heart of God for you this morning. He wants to just walk. He wants to put His arms around you. He's saying, my child, I love you. My child, I've demonstrated my love. I've paid the highest price. I'm well pleased with you. There's no amount of striving, no amount of performance that can change this. For the better or for the worse. My love toward you is firmly grounded in the cross of Christ. Cannot be changed. In the name of Jesus, we bind every lie that says otherwise. We take authority over every thought that wants to question the love of God for his children. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, right now that your love casts out fear in the hearts of your people, God. I feel there is a young man here specifically that you haven't connected with the love of God in a long time. And I feel that God wants today there's an opportunity for you to open your heart to receive God's love for you in a very personal way. To acknowledge and to receive His grace for you. Say, Lord, I accept your love for me. I accept your forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And I receive your love and I receive your affirmation as my Father. I want every eye to be closed now in Jesus' name. And if you feel that's you this morning, I'm not going to call you to the front, but I would like you just to raise your hand, even as just acknowledging to God that you want to open your heart to receive His love and His affirmation. Is there anybody else? All eyes are closed. Thank you. Okay, if you've raised your hand, you can drop it again. I just want us to pray together just that prayer of accepting His love. Father God, I want you to pray after me. Father God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you forgive me through the blood of your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love, God. I receive your affirmation. And I thank you, God, that you rejoice over me. I thank you, Lord, that I can receive that affirmation as your child with joy. And I acknowledge again, Lord, that you are my Father and I'm your child. And you love me, God. And because you love me, I love you. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So Father, I thank you for every heart, and specifically those that responded now, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name for a grace, Lord, to receive your affirmation, to receive your love. Thank you that we are rooted and grounded in love, God, in the love manifested through your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that for your complete forgiveness for us, Lord. And if you're here this morning, if you feel you need a fresh start in some area, some specific thing, and we're going to pray in the front in a moment. Father, would we thank you this morning that you give us a fresh start. You give us a clean slate, Lord. You give us a fresh beginning, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for open hearts now that we can receive that from you, God. Lord, but not in our own strength, not in our striving, but in the knowledge that you make it happen. Lord, you complete the work that you've started in us until the day of Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for that, God. And we thank you for that fullness that we can receive from you, God. And God, at the same time, Lord, we thank you for your empowerment by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. If that's you this morning, while eyes are still closed, we pray. If you need to be filled again with the Spirit of God, and I want you just to lay hands on yourself. and just say, God, we thank you, Lord, that you fill us afresh with your Spirit right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you fill us from the top to the bottom. I thank you that you fill us to overflowing. Holy Spirit, I pray you fill every heart, every soul in this place to overflowing in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for rivers of living water to flow from my innermost being, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for living waters. I thank you, God, for the gifts of the Spirit to manifest themselves. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can, for a new fire in our hearts, a desire for your gifts, Lord. Your word says to desire spiritual gifts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a hunger and a thirst to see your kingdom come, Lord, in your lives, God. I thank you, Lord, for a desire to know you more, to press into your presence, God. I thank you, Lord, that we will not rest until we've been filled to overflowing and then push in some more, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you that you empower us by your Spirit to let your kingdom come, Lord, and to see your kingdom established, God, in and through our lives, Lord. And I thank you, God, for each one of us here, for a boldness, God, to press into you, a boldness to press into your empowerment, a boldness to pursue you, Lord, to press into you and do what you've prepared for each one of us, and as a congregation, Lord, as a body, Father, in the name of Jesus, a fearlessness, Lord, to run with you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for some people in the front here. And I want to encourage you, specifically, if you feel you need a fresh start or a clean slate in some area, just come and receive God's forgiveness. Amen. And if that word was for you in terms of just opening your heart to receive God's affirmation, I really feel just take a bold step. Some people will come forward for different things and different prayer requests, but take a bold step and come forward and just have somebody agree with you in prayer to say, God, I receive your love for me. I receive your affirmation, and that is my strength. Amen. So whatever your prayer need is this morning, be bold, and we want to pray with you. Don't leave until somebody has prayed. Amen. And we don't have all the answers, but God has made provision for you. Amen. So please be bold if you have a prayer need to join us in the front. Otherwise, please join us for some refreshments at the back next door. And so if you still need some ministry or just want to enjoy the presence of God, just stay with us or come to the front. Otherwise, please be blessed. Have a wonderful week and join us with us for some refreshments. Okay. Amen.